You turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35, in a sermon entitled, The Power to Forgive. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and that all he had to be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you. Unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Oh God, we keep hearing some really difficult words. Difficult to live, easy to read. Oh God, help us, help me. Help all of us to have the power to forgive in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor John Ortberg tells a humorous story about an umpire in a softball league in Colorado. And one day in the off season, this unfortunate umpire got stopped by a police officer for speeding. He pleaded for mercy. He explained that he was a good driver. He told him why this particular day he was in a hurry. The officer did not buy his argument. Tell it to the judge, he said. When softball season rolled around, the umpire was umpiring his first game. Guess who was the first batter to the plate? The same police officer who ticketed the umpire for speeding. They recognized each other. It was awkward for the officer. So how did the thing with the ticket go? The officer asked as he prepared to swing at the first pitch. And with a menacing look on his face, the umpire replied, "You better swing at everything." The umpire was set to get his revenge. Now, I gotta tell you, sometimes revenge can be so deliciously sweet. Yet most of us understand that vengeance is not a satisfactory response to being hurt, especially for those who follow Christ. But neither is carrying around a lifetime of hurt feelings. The answer, as we all know, is forgiveness. But how do we forgive someone who has hurt us? And here's the harder thing. How do we forgive someone that keeps hurting us? Because this passage is going to answer once. I've had people hurt me once, and I've had to deal with it and say, Lord, release me. And they did one thing. Imagine, and some of you I know are, you're in situations where people are doing the wrong thing over and over and over again. And were it possible, Lord Jesus, strike them from heaven with a bolt of lightning. Let my agony be over. How do we forgive someone who has hurt us? How do we overcome our painful emotions and reconcile with someone who has done us wrong? That is what the lesson for today is. How do we go about forgiving? So Simon Peter comes to Jesus. He's asking a question. Lots of us might ask. You might come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I got this situation going on. How many times do I got to forgive so-and-so for doing all the stuff they did to me? And Simon Peter, something's going on in his life. Somebody's bothering him. That's what I think. And he says, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Now, brother or sister is... this makes it even more interesting because you could argue that brother or sister is a brother or sister in the Lord. It is and does apply to everybody, but man, oh man, is it hard when you're in the church and you say, she's a Christian, how could she do this to me? It's kind of like, well, she's not a Christian, so I get why she's just not on the right page. It's a little easier to forgive. But somebody who proclaims the name and they look and they sing and everything's wonderful and happy, you're like, that hypocrite, I am not going to forgive them. Oh, it's just horrible, terrible, very bad and awful. The Lord's talking about all of them. The in-the-church folk, the Christian folk, and the non-Christian folk. Some of you are already thinking, oh my Lord, he's talking about me. I know I'm talking about me. So, Simon Peter was asking a really sincere question. And sometimes we ask the same question, Lord, deliver me. How do I get through this? How can I not be so overwhelmed and sunk by what this person is doing over and over again? How can it be okay? The prominent rabbis of the day were teaching that one should forgive someone who had done them wrong three times. Boy, back in that time, woo, only three times. Woo, we win. Back in that day, the rabbis, only three. Done. Woo, you're getting it now. Woo, bang. So, you know, Simon Peter's like, okay, Jesus, you're kind of different. You're kind of, you know, special. You're kind of better than, more loving than these rabbi guys. So he comes up with a number that he thinks is really quite generous. Seven. Three for the rabbis. He doubles it and adds one. Sounds really cool. Sounds like, I got it. This got to be the right answer. And for all of us, forgiveness is a big problem in our lives. There have been people who have wronged us, perhaps are wronging us right now. And it's so difficult to let go of our feelings of anger and resentment and even hatred. How many times shall we forgive? So, okay, here we go. What Jesus says in verse 22 is this. I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Well, the idea is Jesus is not giving you a number for those of you who are saying, my neighbor has finally got to 79. I'm done. Hallelujah. No more forgiving. Here's what Jesus is saying with this number. He's saying you shouldn't even keep track. Because if you forgive them, you should forget it. God does. So you're not getting off the hook with number 78. So don't walk away saying, I'm keeping a notebook. I got to 78. I can hate them. Woo! Great job. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it is hard to ask of mere mortals to do some forgiving when people do some of the rotten stuff they do. But here's the deal. Jesus was doing something for our mental, emotional, and physical health. He knew that we would not be well if that was part of our makeup, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Forgiveness is to our benefit as much as it is for the person who has injured us. Our question for the day is, how do we forgive? Because forgiveness is a redemptive act that is essential. It's not enough to just act civil toward a person who has wronged us. It is not enough to let bygones be bygones. The Bible says that we must move from hurt to reconciliation, or we will leave an open wound that is not allowed to heal. But how? I mean, this is one where you kind of throw back to nothing is impossible with God. Lord, help me, Jesus. Why is it that we find it so hard to forgive? Why is it so hard? Why is it that the pain is so intense that we just can't bring ourselves to forgive? You know, how do you forgive an abusive parent that sexually abused you? That's physically and emotionally abused you? What if it was a teacher or a friend or a sibling or a spouse who abused you? And all the way back, like Kathy said, the memory of the loss of a child, all the way back when that person who now is dead, we're still not forgiving them. We still have the wound open. And who is it hurting? It's hurting us. It's changing us. We cannot be Jesus people when we allow that agony and that hurt to fester and not heal. Sometimes the pain is so intense that it's easier to cut that person out of our lives than to forgive them. It's one of the reasons that it's difficult to forgive. The pain is too deep. We can also have pride. Pride gets in the way. I was right. Ah, why should I have to ask for forgiveness? They were the one. We treat pride as this mistaken sense of principle. We say to ourselves, hey, I'm going to teach him a lesson. And then there are other people. I mean, your friends, kind of like Job's friends that come to him and say, curse God and die along with his wife. Eventually, they may encourage us, the friends and the family. You know, they did you wrong. You need to give it to them. You're surely not to forgive after what he's done to you. How could you? But you see, Even though they mean well, they may not understand our own need for healing. Pain, pride, other people. These are typically the reasons why we do not forgive. And our inability to forgive can have devastating effects on us as well as others. Holding on to resentful feelings can shorten our lives, poison our memories, weaken our relationship with God, and even our own feelings of self-worth. This is in addition to the damage to the relationship with the person that we cannot forgive. And here I'm going to go off topic. Well, not topic. I'm going to go off scripture, even though it is scripture. Because I want to talk to something even more specific and more direct, because I'm talking to me too. What happens when you do something and you can't forgive yourself? In other words, there's not two people, it's just one. You and yourself. You give in to that sin. You end up thinking that thought. You end up saying that word. You end up doing that thing. There are so many people who are unable to forgive themselves. The great forgiver, Jesus the Christ, the one who is the other, because we're never alone. He speaks from the cross and speaks to your heart and mine today and says, you are forgiven. This thing that's burdening you down and pulling you to the depths of despair, I have forgiven you. Hold on to me. We do know that forgiveness is a gift from God. You see, we've been forgiven. I'm there. And so we are all should be able to forgive other people. So here's the example. We see it in the Bible. It is so absolutely distinct and clear. The kingdom of heaven is like. A king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So we got the banker, and different people owe him different amounts of money. And one of them comes in, and the Bible says, look at this, 10,000 bags of gold. Kind of try to get your head around that. I don't know how you could get into that much debt, especially back in those days. Gold today sells for $1,000 an ounce. Think about what 10,000 bags would be worth. Maybe trillions of dollars. And the Bible says that the king forgave him everything. You don't owe me a thing. Your debts are gone. Your credit cards have been chopped up. Not a penny owed. And he not only could have made him pay the money back, which he wanted, but you get thrown into jail until you can, so you're kind of scratching your head saying, this guy's going to jail for life. Because coming up with $1 trillion, even with his family trying to help him out, I'm not quite sure that this is going to work out for him. So then we get to this same man. The guy that God forgave everything. Owed him 100 silver coins. We're kind of getting a real picture of the big difference. Unbelievable vast amount. Small, almost insignificant in comparison amount. What does he do? After being forgiven. This is pretty significant. He grabs the guy. The king didn't do this to him. He chokes the guy. And so we could kind of see him there. He owes the money. He's shaking this guy and choking him, saying, you better pay me everything you owe me, or I'm going to throw you into jail until you pay it back. A few hundred dollars. He could not forgive the tiny debt owed to him by this acquaintance. And to make matters worse, the person was thrown to jail, and we clearly can see a tremendous contrast that Jesus is giving us. Remember, he starts off with the topic, forgiveness. 7 times, 77 times, don't even count times. Then he gives us the story, the example. 10,000 coins, 10,000 bags of gold, some silver coins. The difference between, oh my goodness, this is just not even close. $100 versus, you can't even imagine how much money. Jesus was not speaking only about this particular person in this particular place. Jesus was talking about you and me. And for those of you who say, I'm not going to forgive, I can't forgive, I can't bring myself to do what you're asking me to do, Pastor. The Lord is speaking to you this morning saying, Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, 10,000 bags of gold. The hurt you are feeling and experiencing is $100. We have been forgiven by God. We are sinners saved by grace. We have been forgiven an enormous debt. And if we can see that, it can be a powerful antidote to our feelings of resentment over some wrongdoing that someone has done to us. See, we remember how much God has forgiven us, and we are enabled, therefore, to forgive. It's like a little boy who had done something very, very naughty. His mother was quite disturbed by his behavior, and in the kitchen there was a chalkboard on the wall where they wrote down phone messages. And when no one was around, this troubled little boy wrote on the chalkboard, Dear Mom, if you forgive me, please wipe this message out. He went to his room, an hour later he returned, and to his great joy discovered that the chalkboard had been completely erased. You see, that is what God has done for us. Can we not do the same sort of thing for people who have hurt us? We forgive because God first forgave us. But here's another reason. They'll know we are Christians by our love. We sing the song. They will know we are Christian by our forgiveness. By our forgiveness. I can't get that. It doesn't work with love and forgiveness. But Christians should be different because they are lovers, and lovers are forgivers. Doesn't make sense, forgiving. And the why is that God forgave me. Because there's so many people who are so far from the peaceful shore. And you want to know why? Over and over I've heard them say to me, God can't forgive me. You don't know what I have done. It's just too much. And the ability for us to witness about the forgiveness of Christ in our lives allows them to see that grace. For some people, nursing a grudge has become a deep spiritual problem. It weakens our witness to Christ's presence in our lives. And beyond the damage that it does to our bodies, personally and physically, it prevents us from being as effective a witness as we can be in our ministry to others. We need to recognize that forgiveness is a gift from God to be passed on to others. And, you know, we need to recognize finally that forgiveness is a positive activity necessary to healing and wholeness in our own hearts. Reader's Digest once asked its readers to complete the sentence, "I never regret." Think about that for a moment. I never forget, and here's how some of the readers responded. "I never regret the day I quit smoking. I never regret taking naps and leaving large tips." Liz, you'd like that one. "I never regret serving my country. I never regret eating the last cookie." And this last response, "I never regret forgiving the person who caused me pain, which gave me relief I never thought I could have." That's a smart person who's learned about the power of forgiveness. "I never regret forgiving the person who caused me pain, which gave me relief I never thought I could have." You know, please don't hear what I'm saying, that forgiveness is not some passive resignation to a bad situation. The bad situation is still there. It still is agonizing. We are not, by the scripture, just supposed to shrug our shoulders and say, "Well, there's nothing else to do. I guess I'll just forgive." There is not very much healing in that kind of forgiveness. It changes your perspective. This is forgiveness. It is a positive activity, not a grudge. "Oh, I'm going to forgive them because I have to." Positive, joyful. Our attitude changes from seeing ourselves as victims. Because when we're hurt, usually it's because somebody hurt us, and we are the victim. We are the person who's getting the whatever. We can see ourselves not as victims. We need to bring ourselves in the spirit of forgiveness to seeing ourselves as victors. That the forgiveness that Jesus has given us to give to others says, "You will not control me. You cannot hurt me because I forgive you." Think about Jesus, because I'm telling you, forgiving people, it is not easy, and it can be a real suffering experience. But forgiveness allows us to move from weakness to strength, from inadequacy to self-affirmation. It allows us to experience in our lives the power and presence of the indwelling Christ. Do you need to forgive someone? An unfaithful spouse? An overbearing parent? A friend who stabbed you in the back? An employer who's taken advantage of you? The pain is real. I get it. I've been there. But you also may have some pride. Admit it. There may be some other people to consider. The most powerful witness we have to the action of the grace of God at work in our lives is the ability to forgive others. Grace, filled up, overflowing, joy, laughing. It's hard to laugh when you hate somebody. It really is. It's hard to laugh when you just feel like they've wronged you and you just want to... We can find healing in Jesus. God has forgiven us for every soiled thought, every act, every deed that we are capable of doing. Given how much God has forgiven us of, can we not forgive one another? Three times? Seven times? Even 77 times? Don't even stop keeping track. Forgive today. And find the emotional, mental, and spiritual freedom that only Jesus Christ can give. I'll tell you right now, it will change your life. And you're going to go off track. I know I have. It's like, yep, I got this, got that scripture. And then all of a sudden I'm back on the wrong track. Remember the words of the gospel. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is so important for us to understand the reality of forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness. Help us, Lord, as we gather together and think about these words from your scripture. Change our hearts, Lord. Make us be like you. Thank you for your death on the cross, which forgave us a debt more than $1 trillion. Help us to be able to forgive the people who've hurt us $100 worth. In Jesus' name, amen.